Hi, everyone, and welcome into a post-National Marquette Day edition of Scrambled Eggs. Joe McCann and Phil Bush here with you. Different format for the show in that we're actually recording it in the same room because I'm actually in Milwaukee.
Yay!
Yeah, so if it sounds a little different this week, it's because we're sharing one microphone, but we'll get through it. Hopefully this is still listenable, if that's a word.
Well, were we ever listenable?
No, probably not. But what we're going to do in today's show, we're going to react to the past week in Marquette basketball, look ahead to what is left, which is tier, only two regular season games remaining. And then we're going to see what's left and how Marquette maybe shapes up. Looking ahead to the Big East tournament, which will be getting underway about 10 days from now as we record this on Sunday afternoon. Phil, let's just start with what's most recently in our minds. I have to say, despite the loss, it was a great atmosphere at the Bradley Center on National Marquette Day.
Yeah, that was the best the Bradley Center has been all season, and it just goes to show if you get if you get good teams, good games, you know, a good effort, you'll get the crowd there and they'll be really enthusiastic. So I thought it was a great atmosphere.
Yeah, and I think the bummer was like especially towards the second half, there was really never a moment where the crowd got a chance to really get loud. Like Marquette cut it to within two or tied it or anything like that. That never really happened because anytime Marquette got maybe as close as three, Villanova would go right back down and get another bucket, make it 5-7 and all of a sudden it's 10 again. So I think the crowd was ready to erupt and ready to just get really loud. And I felt the whole game, Phil, if Marquette ever tied it, that the crowd was really going to get loud and maybe that would have rattled Villanova again. But to Villanova's credit, they never let it get that close. And I think just my takeaway from it was, watching the game and going into it, I was hopeful that Marquette would pull an upset, but realistically, that's about as well as I could have expected Marquette to do against Villanova, who is a far superior team.
Yeah, the thing is, the crowd was getting into it. Like they would make every time Marquette would make runs, the crowds would get the enthusiasm up, but then Villanova would kind of punch back, and that shows a sign of a veteran team, right? I mean, that's the difference where Marquette has maybe gone on sustained runs and then fallen apart when the crowd's gotten back, like the Creighton game, when the crowd gets back into it. That's the sign of a youthful team. Villanova was the opposite. They had a lot of experience and could ride through the tough times and kind of punch back when required.
Yeah, and Nova's just a tough – they're a tough matchup for everybody, but they were a tough matchup for Marquette especially because it seemed like when Marquette had – Ellenson and Fisher in there, that's when Chris Jenkins did most of his damage because he's just a guy who's really tough for Marquette to match up against because none of Marquette's bigs could guard him out on the perimeter. He hit those outside shots and he was able to bully Marquette's smaller guys down low. And when Marquette only had one big guy in there, whether it was Fisher or Ellenson, that's kind of when Ochefu went to work. And that's another guy who's tough for Marquette to match up against. And we've kind of talked all year how Marquette's bigs kind of get bullied by some of the stronger guys, big guys in the Big East. So Villanova is just such a tough matchup. And when they shoot as well as they did, it was almost 60% for the day for Villanova. I mean, when a team shoots the ball that well, you're just not going to beat them. So it was tough to see Marquette lose, but certainly not unexpected the way Villanova played.
Well, and Marquette, I mean, Marquette does have positives to take away. Another great game from Cheatham, almost 20 points. I did, for the record, predict 21 points, so I was just a touch off.
Yep.
And Tracy Carter struggled at times, but late in the game was, you know, all of a sudden went into a bag of tricks we hadn't seen before and was able to hit some layups that we hadn't gone to work down low and we hadn't seen. So there were some positives to take away.
And plus, Henry Ellenson is now has the Marquette record for scoring as a freshman. He just passed Dominique James. Dominique James actually gave him a shout-out on Twitter on Sunday morning. Don't know if you saw that.
Oh, no, I missed that one.
DJ doesn't tweet that much, but he did give Ellenson a shout-out. And say congrats and keep going and everything. But I just have to throw this out there. I guess we're selectively choosing when Dwayne Wade is a freshman.
Correct. Whenever it's useful.
They name dropped him earlier in the season, but I think they've gone back to the correct evaluation that Wade was a sophomore in his first year, which he was. So Ellenson has the freshman record for Marquette scoring, and he will only continue to extend that. Cheatham is actually probably going to get close to Dominique James by the end of the season, too.
I think Cheatham will actually – I think if I remember the math correctly, it was something like 45 points. So he's within striking range
Marquette,
of breaking DJ or taking second.
Yeah, so two games left plus guaranteed one in the Big East tournament and then guaranteed – well, hopefully guaranteed one more in an NIT or something.
Right.
So hopefully at least 4 games left for Cheatham to do that. Maybe possibly as many as 5 or 6 if we get lucky and can go a little deep in the Big East and maybe win an NIT game or two. But we're going to talk about that as we look ahead. Phil, we only got 2 games left in the regular season.
It's terrible.
I know. It's a, kind of a bummer that the basketball season is this close to ending, at least as far as Marquette is concerned. But we were kind of looking at some scenarios before the podcast with only 2 games
Let's
left.
Let's be accurate. Joe was doing all the work. I was sitting there watching television.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had a little guy to look after as well. You That's have true. Dad responsibilities, and I just have, you know, research. So basically, after as we're recording this, we haven't Creighton is playing St. John's on Sunday afternoon. We're not watching that game, so that's before we're recording that before that game goes final. But Xavier just lost to Seton Hall, so it looks like Seton Hall has got at least 3rd locked up.
Yep.
So Marquette could finish anywhere between 5th and 8th in the conference. They can't drop below DePaul in 9th. Thankfully, that's not something we have to deal with. But obviously, the difference between 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th is pretty obvious. Winning 3 games in Madison Square Garden or having to win 4 in Madison Square Garden to steal a bid to the NCAA tournament, because obviously that's something you still have to cling to, that hope that you can pull off, you know, and be a bid thief in March. So if you go by KenPom's projections, the game-by-game projections on KenPom and what could possibly happen, if those go according to KenPom, Marquette would finish 7th. Because if Marquette is favored against Georgetown, they are an underdog at Butler, so projected to finish at 8-10 on the season, which would place them ahead of Georgetown, DePaul, and St. John's. So the swing game, really, I mean, Marquette has 2 really important games because they're playing teams that they are kind of battling, Phil, for anywhere between 5th and 8th in Butler and Georgetown. And essentially, if they can beat Georgetown on Tuesday, they're pretty much almost guaranteed to finish ahead of Georgetown, because Georgetown has Villanova after that in Philadelphia.
One seed on the line for Villanova.
Yeah, I really don't like the Hoyas' chances in that one, but they've surprised me before. They actually beat Xavier at their place earlier this year. But the bottom line is, Phil, this upcoming game against Georgetown is critical if Marquette wants to get one step up, because obviously the difference between finishing 7th and finishing 8th, I mean, you know, if you finish 7th, you get St. John's first. And then if you finish 8th, you're probably getting DePaul first. Right. And then, thing is, to me, you pick and choose your poison, whether it's Villanova or Xavier as your second game. Because if you want to win the whole thing, you're probably going to have to beat both of them anyway.
Right.
But obviously, I think you'd rather play, even though it is in Madison Square Garden, I think I'd rather play St. John's than DePaul in that first game.
Well, and there is a scenario with Seton Hall beating Xavier. If something works out and Xavier loses another game and Seton Hall wins out, I think Seton Hall goes to the 2 seed, mm-hmm. and Xavier goes to the 3 seed. And, you know, I'd much rather play Xavier than Seton Hall, seemingly, right now.
Based on what we saw on Sunday, certainly. But as crazy as that seems, because as I've said before, I think Xavier is good enough to be a Final Four team. But they certainly didn't look that part on Sunday against Seton Hall.
And Marquette seems to match up better with Xavier.
Seton Hall's basically just embarrassed Marquette both times they played this year. And there's that old cliche that it's tough to beat a team 3 times, but all these teams have beaten Marquette 3 twice.
Yeah.
So Villanova's beaten them twice. Seton Hall has. Xavier has.
Somebody's beating Marquette for a 3rd time.
Yeah. So, if you're looking for an easy path to the Big East title, there isn't one, is basically what I'm saying.
Right. Well, the thing is, like, it'll be interesting because Georgetown, this will be the largest gap we've had between games against the same team, because we played Georgetown, the 2nd game of the Big East Conference?
Right.
And got down early and then came back, got within 6 or 7, and then DSR went off for a bunch of free throws, closed out the game, and we lost. And that was after we had gotten blown out by Seton Hall, so doom and gloom ensued.
Right.
So hopefully we've forgotten that. But Georgetown looks considerably less challenging than they did then.
Yeah, you kind of wonder if Georgetown's in quit mode.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, almost like Marquette, they know they have no postseason hope. And Georgetown, unlike Marquette, is labeled as one of the big underachievers.
Correct.
This year. I think they had a lot, maybe we were way off on those, but I think a lot of people nationwide expected Georgetown to finish a little higher in this conference, and they just haven't gotten it done. So the thing is, it's at home. I think, honestly, Marquette and Georgetown are relatively evenly matched, but I think the home court advantage should be a big deal. Last home game, technically it's a senior day. Well, I guess it'll be Michael Mackey's senior day, so it'll be his senior day. I will throw this out there, though. it's probably Henry Ellenson's last game.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would acknowledge him, because you've seen sometimes when a guy is definitely going pro, he'll do a farewell or something like that. I don't think Ellenson will do that. But I would say this to the fans. When Ellenson is announced in the starting lineup, give a big, loud, standing ovation and thanks to that guy for coming to Marquette and doing what he has done as a freshman, because it is probably the last time you will see him in a Marquette uniform. And I think, you know, he hasn't said he's going pro. No one in his family has said he's going pro. We're all just basing this off what everyone in his position has ever done.
Right.
You know, when you're projected in the top five.
And what any one of us would do if we were in his
position. But basically what I'm saying is, when Henry Ellenson is announced on Tuesday night, loud standing ovation and thank you to that guy, because it's probably his last home game. So it's almost like Henry Ellenson's senior day from my perspective.
Right. Well, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, if it's a tight game where it's back and forth and there's nobody able to come out, or there's no break at the end of the game, all right, it won't happen. But let's say Marquette's either up 12 or down 12.
Right, yeah. Then
does Ellenson come out with 30 seconds left?
And, yeah, I could definitely see Wojo doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, thing is, Wojo probably has a good idea.
Right.
Like, not that anything has been announced.
Right.
But, like, Wojo probably has a pretty good idea. Because, you know, he probably talks to his guys about that behind the scenes.
Well, like, Andy has to recruit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, he's like, look. Again, not that I'm going to announce this to anybody, but Henry, what are you thinking?
You know,
and like, I've got to plan around this. But yeah, I would. That's a good point. If it's in hand, one way or the other, with less than a minute to play, if like, you know, he brings in Ellenson, or he takes Ellenson out and maybe sends Wally out there, or sends somebody out there to go get him, and big standing O. So I would, everyone anticipate that moment. And again, one way or the other, big standing ovation, I think. For Henry Ellenson on Tuesday.
Well, I would think the fans are appreciative of what he's done and what
the
he's
sensible
provided.
Ones are.
Yeah,
yes.
Correct. The ones that are going to the majority of the games.
Yes.
So hopefully there's a real appreciation for what he's done, because one of the things, you know, and we'll talk. I'm sure we'll get to it in one of the season reviews when this is all said and done. But as angsty as we've been this season and frustrated as we've been, I mean, we're on track for the possibility of a 20-win season.
Right. Which
after
is
only winning 13.
Yeah. I mean, 19 losses last year.
Right.
I mean, you know, you look at the big picture, you just maybe take away one or two losses and turn them around. We might be pretty close to a tournament team, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, the DePaul loss at home ruined everything.
Yes. You know,
not to put it all on one game, but it really is.
But DePaul's the worst.
Just losing to DePaul at home just ruins everything. But if you can turn around that in the Belmont game, Marquette might actually have a decent RPI. Maybe not a great one.
They'd at least be in the conversation. Right?
Yeah, they'd be in the conversation here with two games to play. But, you know, that's in the past. But you're right. I mean, I think if you look at big picture what they've done this year, we were kind of debating this with Rob from Crack Sidewalks on Twitter the other day, Tim, like, what is, you know, tough or what is disappointing? You know, I guess I look at the progress of this team a little differently because I'm assuming Ellenson's leaving.
Yeah.
Like, if I knew everyone on this team was coming back next year, I would say this is a huge step forward and we are going to be great next
yes.
year. But I just can't say that because I don't know what the team's going to look like next year. So I guess I look at the progress relatively because I am anticipating losing some of this progress next year.
Well, but the other issue is, and we've talked about it multiple times now, is the hype around Ellenson hurt more than anything, right?
It hurt expectations, right? Because it ballooned them up to, all right, we got to make the tournament,
right.
or it's a total bust.
Right, because everyone basically went, we're all in this year. We've got 1 year with Ellenson. We've got to win it all.
Right.
And the team was just far too young
right.
to be able to do that. Because if you think about it, if Ellenson was a one and done next year, the roster's totally the same except Ellenson's coming in next year.
Right.
I think all the talk we had is legit, and like winning the Big East is within reach next year.
Right.
With a 1 year Ellenson. But this year, it was just far too young. But it is kind of crazy because if you think about it, we mentioned Hanif having a shot at the freshman record. If Henry Ellenson wasn't here, how much would we be talking about Hanif Cheatham and how awesome a freshman season he's had?
And I think that's the thing. We've probably overlooked him, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, if Hanif stays 4 years at Marquette, he could own a lot of records. I mean, he could be our all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, to be honest, to be fair, we were saying this about Dwayne Wilson last year.
Yeah.
And who knows how many...
He's still on track, though.
Who knows how many points Dwayne will have after 4 years, assuming he stays 4 years. But, yeah, you know, Hanif has had a historically good
Yeah.
Freshman year. And I'm very excited to see what he becomes over the next 2 or 3 years at Marquette. Because I tweeted the other day, I said, that kid has a face of the program type feel around him. Because I think over the next few years, it's going to be Hanif Cheatham and the Marquette Golden Eagles take on blah, 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 right. Fox on Saturday. Like, he's going to be just the guy that Marquette pumps up. And, you know, eventually, maybe not necessarily next year, but maybe by his junior year, saying, Hanif Cheatham, potential All-American, and having all these press releases like they did for Henry Ellenson this year.
Do you think long-term he's off the ball, or is he going to stay as a point guard?
Oh, off the ball for sure. I think, you know, maybe if you're projecting him into the NBA, developing some point guard skills would maybe help him. But as far as what he's going to be in college, I think Wojo is going to continue to surround him with point guards.
Yeah.
I mean, because obviously you've got Rousey eligible next year. You've got Tracy Carter will still be here, presumably. And then you've got Marcus Howard, who is a top recruit for next year. We're not sure. It's either 2016 or 2017, but that's another point guard.
And he hasn't committed.
He is not committed, but he is a one of Marquette's top targets on the board. He could either be 2016 or 2017, but eventually he'll be on hopefully he will be a Marquette Golden Eagle, which would be great.
Yep.
It looks at like the competition for him is between Marquette, Baylor, and
Central Arkansas?
Yeah, his brother's there.
Right.
And so there's that. And then I think he may be still looking at something close to home, like Arizona or something, Arizona State or something. But he did cancel official visit to Indiana, so there was that.
Well, I would too.
Wise decision, as always.
Yeah.
But my point is, Wojo was still recruiting point guards, and as you should. So I think, to answer your question, he's going to be off the ball. And maybe by the time he's a junior or senior, maybe he – you know, has the ball in his hands more often. But as we've seen this year, he turns the ball over a lot more when he's the point guard.
Yeah.
So I think we will continue to see him off the ball, and I think he will thrive in that role.
Yeah.
And I think I anticipate him being Marquette's leading scorer for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, I agree. What'll be interesting to see is the key is going to be not necessarily replacing Ellenson's point production. I think that's replaceable with the pieces we have. It's going to be the rebounding.
The rebounding is where we are going to sorely miss Ellenson next year. And that's where – I think that's where Wojo is working right now, is trying to find another big, whether that be a freshman, or I expect he would peruse the graduate transfer option religiously here in the spring to see who's out there. Because, you know, if you can add a veteran in the spring, it would be great to have for next year. Because if you can replace – I don't know if you can replace 10 rebounds a game that easily.
No, I don't
think so. But to have somebody who can – play off Fisher a little more, and because, you know, Helt's going to be very involved next year. Because when Fisher's in foul trouble
seemingly is just about every game.
Helt's going to be playing a lot more next year, because we've seen this year when Fisher's in foul trouble, they'll put Ellenson in the middle.
Yeah.
But those minutes are going to go to Helt next year.
Right.
So it would be nice to have a power forward to go next to both of those guys next year. But we'll see what Wojo does there. But as far as immediate concerns, if you're trying to be optimistic and see how well Marquette could possibly do, the dream scenario obviously is win both of the last two games, Georgetown at home and then at Butler.
Which is not unrealistic. I mean, they're favorable matchups for Marquette.
Right, and Marquette's favorite is an underdog at Butler, to be clear, but we saw how well they matched up with Butler last time. Now, obviously, it'll be a hostile crowd at Hinkle Fieldhouse. But if Marquette can go in there and win, there is potential that Marquette could finish as high as fifth, because they would potentially, if KenPom projections play out, if Creighton beats St. John's on Sunday as we're recording this, and then lose the next two games, which are really tough, at Providence, at Xavier, then Creighton would be 9-9 and Marquette would be 9-9. If I understand the tiebreakers correctly, after head-to-head, the next tiebreaker is road record in conference, which, if that scenario plays out that I just described, Marquette winning at Butler and Creighton losing its at last two on the road, Creighton would be 4-5 in conference on the road. Marquette would be 5-4, therefore tiebreaker Marquette. So Marquette would be fifth in that scenario. So that's as high as Marquette could realistically finish.
And we should note, you're not a lawyer.
I am not.
And so interpretation of rules is subject to mistake.
Subject to be terribly wrong, yes.
Yes. But having said that, and moving up to fifth would free us up from that Wednesday game where we'd have to play either DePaul or St. John's. So you only have to win 3 games in 3 days.
Right.
But that's, you know, The likelihood of that happening, I think it's probably going to be something on the order of 70% likely we're going to finish seventh or worse.
Yeah, I think so.
But it would be great to get to that fifth seed.
Yeah, the interesting thing about finishing fifth is you would probably be playing Providence for the third time.
Mm.
You know, that's a team obviously Marquette has, for whatever reason, matched up well with and beat twice. But again, tough to beat a team three times. But, you know, Providence has the inside track, certainly because they get Creighton at home, and then they finish at St. John's to finish the season. So if Providence takes care of business, they would finish 10-8 and then lock into that four spot in conference play. But, you know, whether you're finishing fifth or sixth would be, like I said, be so nice. Because the tough thing about those first games, Phil, you've got less than 24 hours to your next one.
Which is
tough, but I have no problem with it because – you know, the top seeds deserve some spoils, and if facing a tired team in the first game, I don't have an issue.
And if you're as terrible as St. John's and DePaul, we want you out of the tournament as rapidly as possible.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, you want your best teams advancing for the most part, but if, for the Big East's perspective, it would certainly be nice maybe if a team that's on the bubble could win the Big East tournament, like, say, Butler.
Yeah.
You know, or a Creighton. To just make sure they lock in. Because I feel relatively comfortable that the Big East is going to get four in with, I would say, I mean, obviously Xavier and Nova are locks. I would move Seton Hall to lock status this point in the season.
Right, after the beating Seton, after beating Xavier.
Providence basically has to play their way out, in my opinion, because of these last two games. They get Creighton at home and at St. John's. Lose either one of those, I think, then you're playing with fire. My opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but other than that, I think Providence, if they take care of business, finish 10-8 in the league, I think they'll be in, probably even comfortably in, and by comfortably I mean not in Dayton.
Right.
So from that, as far as getting a fifth team, it'd be basically be Butler or nobody, because I don't think anyone else can get an at-large bid. I don't think Creighton can.
Creighton's RPI is almost as bad as ours.
So Marquette obviously can, and Georgetown has no hope as well. So basically, it's going to be four or five.
Right.
I don't see any way. Well, the only way I'd see they could get six would be Butler winning out. And that would finish them at 10-8, right? And then someone like Marquette, Creighton, or Georgetown winning the Big East tournament.
Oof. Yeah.
That's the only way you could get six.
That's the only way, but you'd have to think, even, and I guess we're really going down.
We're really spitballing, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, the only way to get to six is a non-top five team in the Big East has to win the Big East tournament. Does that knock out, say, a Butler? You know, at five?
Yeah, it would have to be Butler losing in the final to Marquette or Creighton.
Yeah, exactly.
I think. But anyway, that's kind of when you look at the way the last week's going to play out, that's kind of what's on the line. What's on the line for me, as far as Marquette's concerned, win them both. I think you have a good shot to skip the first day.
Yep.
If you lose one, very, very likely you're finishing seventh or eighth.
Yep.
So, I mean, strap in, because it's going to be really tough to win more than one game in that scenario.
What would you say, if we win two, we're pretty much locked to be six or better?
I would say the one thing that could screw that up is if Creighton gets an upset. If Creighton beats Providence or Xavier, then Creighton would finish 10-8.
Creighton would
be ahead of us.
So then we wouldn't have the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker wouldn't come into scenario. So basically, I'm assuming Creighton would lose those last two games on the road. So that's the one thing that could screw it up. But again, if Marquette, that would be the one thing, that would be the one way Marquette could still finish seventh or eighth by winning both games. But other than that, if you lose one of these next two, get prepared for the first day, because that's kind of what Marquette's looking at. So a lot is on the line for Marquette this week, as far as, because again, those guys are still clinging to hope that they can make the tournament. And I think they have to, can't be naive about it. They know they're not getting an at large at this point. So I think, but still, you have to look for the team to be very focused this week, because they don't want to have to play, they don't want to have to play St. John's or DePaul first, and they don't want to have to turn around and play Nova or Xavier on less than 24 hours rest.
Right. Yeah.
After that.
Well, and the other. I mean, obviously, we're focused on the Big East tournament because that's at this point the only path to an NCAA bid. But the other aspect of it is we look good for an NIT bid, but we're not locked by any stretch.
Yeah,
of
that's
the
imagination. True. If you lose both and then you lose that first game in the Big East tournament, then I think you're playing with fire.
Right.
Like somebody tweeted out NIT projections this week, and Marquette was projected a 7 seed, which is kind of in that danger zone because as we discussed before, when those tiny bid conferences, one bid conferences, when their favorite loses, the regular season champ gets an automatic bid in the NIT.
Yep.
So then those NIT bids start disappearing. So you can kind of plan on four or five of those going away. So then that's when, if you're projected low in the NIT, you're getting a little nervous about it. So definitely win at least one this week to – well, definitely win two
right
to secure it, I think. But, yeah, if you lose both, I think you're in trouble.
Yeah, I think – The minimum need is to win one of these next two and win at least one in the Big East tournament.
Yeah, don't lose to DePaul or St. John's.
Yeah, don't let DePaul kick us out of yet another tournament.
Right. Basically, because if you lose first in the Big East tournament, then you've got a bad loss on your resume. But if you lose your second game, then you're losing to a great team. You're losing to either Nova, Xavier, or possibly Seton Hall.
Right.
But so that's kind of what you're looking at. Win one of these last two and then win that first game in the Big East tournament. I'd feel pretty good about an NIT bid. The thing is, I still don't know, you know, if that doesn't happen, would Marquette do any CBI? The thing is that there's no excitement about that, and plus you got to pay to do that.
Yeah,
thing.
They
might pass on that as they have in the past.
But they passed the last time because there was the buzz leaving
of the
drama.
Everybody
wanted out. Everybody was ready to be done.
Yeah, Buzz had packed up his office after that last Big East tournament game.
Yes.
Sounds like he had packed up his office before the Big East tournament, depending on what you read.
And he may not have been the one packing his office.
Yes. That was a divorce. That was just everybody was just ready for that one to end.
Even the kids knew it was time.
But I think maybe with this team, maybe there may be some interest in playing a few extra games.
You want to get as much run with these freshmen as possible. The extra practices, the extra game experiences. It'd be silly not to.
Yeah. So as we look to the week ahead, Phil, what would your projection be for this week? Are we going to be optimistic or realistic with a 1-1? Or are we just going to jump off the cliff and say they go 0-2?
No. I think they go 1-1. I think that both are favorable matchups, so I think there's certainly a possibility to go 2-0.
Right.
But if I have to be realistic here, because I've been way too optimistic this whole season,
yes.
So I think they go 1-1. I don't know which one they win, but I think they win one. Gun to my head, I think they beat Georgetown.
Yeah, I mean, basically going off KenPom projections, they're a 60% favorite to beat Georgetown. They're a 20% favorite. 20% odds, I should say. There's nothing of favorite about being 20%.
Right.
They're a 9-point dog and 20% odds to win at Butler. So I think that's the logical thing, is they can go 1-1 this week. The thing is, they have been trending up overall.
Yes.
I mean, they've been playing better. They shot the ball pretty well against Villanova. They just turned it over a little too much, and Villanova just shot for a very high percentage, and that was kind of the difference in the game. So Marquette, for the most part, has been trending up over the last month. So I don't think it's implausible that they could win both of these games this week. And then it would be really interesting to see if they could get out of that, get that bye, or out of that Wednesday game at the Big East tournament. Because I think that's got to be what Wojo's talking to the team this week. Say, look, guys, we really got something to play for this week. I know you're down that you didn't beat Villanova, but there's still some important stuff to play for, because we could really increase our odds of stealing a bid.
Well, and I do think, given that it's the last game of this, the last home game against the season, I think the crowd shows up against Georgetown.
Yep.
Recognizing the importance of Michael Mackey to the program and honoring him, and then perhaps Henry Ellenson. So we'll see. We'll see what comes out of it. But I think they can definitely – they're playing much better now than when they played against Georgetown the first time. And they took Georgetown to late in the game to really close them out.
Yeah. I mean, big bottom line, that game they made a bunch of mistakes early, and it was just too much to overcome late in the game. So
that was a turnover fest for sure.
Yeah. So it's that old thing. Don't let a team beat you twice. As far as don't let the Villanova thing carry over into this one.
Right.
But the thing is, I think they've been fairly resilient. I mean, they've put together some good efforts. It just didn't show up on the scoreboard because they played such a good team on Sunday. But all right, so we'll look ahead to this week, and we'll try to be optimistic, and hopefully this time next week we're talking about a Thursday game in Madison Square Garden instead of a Wednesday. But before we wrap things up, we do want to talk about something that, if you follow all of us on social media, especially Twitter, you saw that the minds, and I use that term loosely, at here at Crack Sidewalks and Anonymous Eagle and Paint Touches, it just kind of started as a simple conversation about having a shirt with the MUBB hashtag on it.
We wanted to be able to identify all the nerds in public.
Exactly. But basically, long story short, somebody suggested we should make a shirt like that, and a conversation spiraled down, and eventually Ruby Q over there at Anonymous Eagles actually made the shirt, and now we are selling. When I say we, it's basically all of us here on social media. There's a website. We're going to post it on Crack Sidewalks where we post the podcast, so you can kind of go there and see the link. But it's a cool shirt. It says there's a hashtag MUBB on the front. There's a Al McGuire silhouette underneath it, and then on the back it says your team is evil and must be destroyed, which is kind of the thing people always say in the morning of a game day.
Right.
For Marquette
basketball. The internet people.
But of course, this is the important thing, by the way. Your money is not going to us.
Yeah, we're not getting a dime.
Yeah, so the money is going to Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, which is, of course, the charity that Al's Run benefits. So it's for a nice cause. The shirts are cheap. They're only $15.
Yep.
We've already met our minimum order, so they're going to be made.
Yep.
So our goal was 50 shirts, and we hit that in the first couple days. And we've already raised close to $400, I think. And we got about, I think, less than 2 weeks to go on it.
Yeah.
So you can't make up your mind later and buy this in a month because they'll be gone by then because the order is only open for 2 weeks. So follow the link. It's on Booster, but we'll post the link again right where we post the podcast on Crack Sidewalks. Click on the link, buy a shirt. Buy two shirts. Buy three shirts.
Hey, I bought a couple of shirts, including an extra small youth, and I'm going to shrink it for Owen. Red for Owen.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a powder blue shirt, by the way.
Yeah.
Powder blue. I think it's a cool-looking shirt. And so we could see our fellow Marquette basketball social media followers in public. I think it's a pretty cool shirt. And again, it's only $15. And plus, on the site, if you want to donate a little more to Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, there's a link. You can do that as well. So if you want to throw an extra $5 towards the hospital, you can do that as well. So good cause, cool shirt. Click on it. And again, you've only got about
2 weeks.
About 2 weeks to order it.
So. Yeah, so basically about the time of the Big East tournament, you should have already had your shirt order in and be excited. And I think we can get to, like Joe said, we're at, what, $400 essentially? I think we can get to 1,000 by the time.
I think it'd be great. Yeah, if we can get like maybe 100 shirts ordered. As the word spreads a little bit and people learn about it a little more, because there was so much momentum the first day, we got like 45 ordered the first day, and then we went like 5 or 10 over the weekend. So trying to spread the word a little bit more here. So again, check out the shirt. It's only $15. The shirts will ship when the window closes.
Yeah, so I think they're supposed to ship by mid to late March.
So basically by the Final Four, you'll have your shirt.
Yes.
So we can celebrate, hopefully, Marquette's surprise bid to the Final Four.
Now you're just crazy.
I know. Maybe we'll be celebrating an NIT Final Four or something
like that. Yeah, that would be great.
But so check out those shirts. They're really cool. And again, kudos to Ruby Q for taking the initiative and actually making the shirts. But it was a collaborative effort of all of us. Again, it was Crack Sidewalks, Paint Touches, and Anonymous Eagle just chiming in. Why don't you change that? Why don't you change this? Why don't you do this logo, that logo, opinions, thoughts? Okay, here's the shirt. Buy it.
Yeah. And it turned out really cool. I'm really excited. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my shirt. We got to wait about a month to get it because it closes at mid-March and then ships after that. So at the end of March, you'll have it. So again, check it out. Check out the link. Proceeds, again, they don't go to us. You're not giving us your money. It's going to Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. So cool shirt, good cause.
Yeah, that's why we went through booster.com, because they do all the organizing. They're printing the shirts. We have nothing to do with it. I'm sure we'd screw it up if we did. So it goes all through there, and the proceeds go to a great cause, and we can make note of it for Al's Run and you know, get behind a big push for Marquette.
And maybe people can wear those shirts at the next Al's Run.
That would be fantastic.
Rock those things there. But again, check it out. That just about wraps up this edition of Scrambled
live
Eggs.
Edition.
Yeah, live on tape.
Yeah.
Again, it's so rare that we actually record a podcast in the same room. Hope it sounded well enough that you guys could hear it. But again, hit us up on Twitter with your comments and your thoughts. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOF23. Crack Sidewalks is the team page. Post the podcast on cracksidewalks.com. And again, that's where we'll post the link to the booster link for the t-shirts. And of course, on the Scrambled Eggs Facebook page, we do have that there. And of course, we're on iTunes as well. Phil, I guess I have a flight to catch. I guess I should get back to work eventually.
Yeah, you should probably head back to Dallas, but it's been good having you here.
Yeah, I unfortunately, I have to take this nice weather back with me.
Oh, man.
You know,
it's been 50 degrees.
It's probably not just a coincidence that it was in the mid-50s in Wisconsin on the 2 days I was here, and then it's going to drop down back into the 30s and 40s after I take off. Probably just a coincidence. Maybe not.
What's in your carry-on is what I want to know.
Awesome powers. That's what's in it, and I'm taking it with me. Until next time, everyone, seashells and balloons.